Drive Time on RTE Radio 1 with National Irish Bank. The bank that brought Danske Bank's international expertise to Ireland is now bringing the Danske Bank name.
So just how significant is this week's state visit? In a few minutes we'll speak to Trinity historian Professor Eunan O'Halpin. But first, Brian Lally has been looking at the milestones in the fairly short history of top-level Irish-British visits. Here's his support report from the archives.
It really was a day when, in the words of Seamus Heaney, who happened to be at the top table with Her Majesty the Queen and President McAleese, hope and history rhymed.
Prince Philip and I are delighted to be here and to experience at first hand Ireland's world-famous hospitality.
The chance to offer that 100,000 welcomes, however, didn't just happen accidentally. It didn't happen in a couple of weeks. And on this eve of President Michael D. Higgins' historic return visit, it's probably timely to have a look back to some of the previous encounters.
On Thursday in Buckingham Palace, two women drank tea for half an hour. The heads of two neighbouring states sat down for the first time as equals.
It's May 1993. And President Mary Robinson reflects on her visit in the previous couple of days.
Well, I was very pleased to respond to the Queen's invitation to pay a courtesy call. It is appropriate that we would meet as heads of state and that we would symbolise the many, many different ways in which Britain and Ireland interconnect. And I think it was representing the modern Ireland to go as head of state. This is, if you want to put it that way, a psychological barrier that's now removed. I'm not going to discuss at all any issue or even confirm or not confirm any indications. The discussions were private and will remain private.
And we move on. Britain's Queen Elizabeth will visit Ireland when, as she puts it, things have settled down.
2 years later, however, there is significant progress.
Nobody doubts that it will happen, but we're still a few years away from it. The politics have to be right, as the Queen was reported as saying yesterday herself, when things settle down a bit. But you must remember that it's at the recommendation of the two governments. It's a political decision, ultimately.
Queen Elizabeth is coming to Ireland too, but in the words of the newsletter headline, she is cagey about exactly when. When things have settled down is what she announced yesterday when she met President Robinson in London, which is safe enough because she must know the country isn't half settled yet.
The Prince of Wales has arrived in Dublin to begin his first official visit.
We did manage to attract a high-ranking member of the royal family for a visit.
Prince Charles arrived at Baldonnell at about 5 o'clock this evening.
Amid tight security, the Prince of Wales was met by the Taoiseach and Minister for Foreign Affairs, Dick Spring.
I believe it's a very significant visit, and obviously in terms of Anglo-Irish relations it's very important. And the government welcome the Prince Charles to Ireland, and I hope that it'll be a very successful visit. I think there's a very strong message in relation to the Anglo-Irish peace process and what's happening on this island and the work of both governments and this visit, the fact that this visit can take place.
Prince Charles was driven under heavy escort across Dublin to the city's south side. He's now attending the Queen's birthday party at the British Ambassador's residence in Glencairn.
He was greeted by a lone piper, Michael Russell from Luskin, County Dublin. The Prince stopped to chat with the piper. He told him that he himself had tried to play the pipes at college. Michael Russell joked with him that he'd have to practice more.
Jump ahead 3 years to 1998. November the 11th, 80 years to the day since the signing of the armistice in the First World War.
President McAleese and Queen Elizabeth have jointly dedicated a memorial in Flanders for the thousands of Irishmen who were killed in combat in the First World War.
President McAleese arrived at Messines this afternoon together with Queen Elizabeth and King Albert of Belgium, in a visit that signalled the most formal recognition yet of the 200,000 Irish who fought in World War I. The President inaugurated the tower in silence, reading the plaques in four languages, including Irish. She then laid a laurel wreath and was followed by Queen Elizabeth, who laid a poppy wreath. The Journey of Reconciliation Trust, which built the tower using workers from both sides of the border, hope it will serve as a symbol of reconciliation.
In 2010, when the official visit of Queen Elizabeth to Ireland is formally announced, as you can imagine, the phone's lit up on Liveline.
There's an awful lot of people still hoarding out there.
Tom, the Queen, yes or no?
No, of course not. What sort of a country
have we become?
And if radio should educate, inform and entertain, there was all three from the man from Debrett's about what we should do if we're in the same room as the Queen.
They'll need to know whether to bow and curtsy and that sort of thing, and I hope that everyone will do that. I think it's a fine mark of respect to the sovereign. The sweeping bows of history have gone. Now it's simply a nod from the neck, and for a lady, a bob.
What would be perceived as being rude?
I mean, if someone is completely tongue-tied. Oh, and not to squeeze her hand, just to sort of take the hand very, very gently. That's another thing, because she'll get terribly sort of bruised. You know, that might be disconcerting for the monarch.
And I'm sure it's a fairly frightening prospect to have a disconcerted monarch, but in May 2011, history was made and broadcast right around the globe.
Britain's Queen Elizabeth has just arrived in spite of a serious threat from angry Irish Republicans. The Queen landed in Dublin just a few moments ago, beginning a four-day visit
there. There were, of course, pockets of demonstrations, but by and large, the visit was an unbridled success. Jump ahead another 3 years, and the reciprocation of history. Before President Higgins boarded the flight in Ballydonald this evening, he put a historical frame on the importance of this visit, especially for the Irish community in Britain.
I think that many of their parents and grandparents will have thought often about, could it ever happen that the head of an independent Irish state would be visiting the Queen and being received with such enthusiasm and such generosity. This is just the opening of a door rather than the closing of anything.
Brian Lally reporting for us there. Professor Eunan O'Halpin, thank you for coming in to us this evening. 21 years since Mary Robinson went to take tea in Buckingham Palace. 2011, the Queen comes here. Michael D. Higgins now is President of Ireland, going on this state visit to the United Kingdom. What are your thoughts as he makes history?
Well, he does make history. It is, in a sense, the return match. I think that the Queen coming here was rather bigger news. It was rather more sensitive, if you think, in terms of the history of Anglo-Irish and of North-South relations. You think of the fact that, you know, her husband's uncle had been blown up by the IRA along with four other people while he was fishing off in County Sligo and so on. So, you know, thankfully, this return visit is much less sort of caught up with security issues. Mm. That's the first thing. Secondly, Michael D. Higgins is visiting the United Kingdom. It's not just Britain. He's visiting somebody who is the king is regarded as the monarch by the majority of people in Northern Ireland as well as in Great Britain. And I think there's recognition all around in those kind of gestures, which are very important. Mm. I wouldn't want to focus simply on the North-South dimensions of it, but I think that's an important point.
Of course, the visit kicking off in Windsor, the British do pomp and ceremony extremely well. But eight speeches Michael D. Higgins will deliver during the course of this visit. What are the themes you expect him to explore? I think we got some hint today as he left from Balmoral and in that clip that Brian played there as well.
Well, I think underpinning it, there'll be several things. One is the interconnectedness of Ireland and the UK, but particularly the island of Ireland, the island of Britain. There's already been signals in terms of the attention paid to people of Irish extraction in Britain, which is very important. I mean, I have lots of cousins in Britain, but they're not Irish, they're British. Their parents are Irish, they're British, they're emphatically British.
Is this cultural Irishness as opposed to saying we are Irish and we want to come back?
Well, I think it is cultural Irishness, but they also have, I have cousins, you know, who are through marriage and so on, have relatives in Spain and Sri Lanka and all sorts of places, you know, and so we have some call on them, but we're not asking them to send back their remittances like in the old days.
We're not asking
them to pine for the old country.
Are we asking anything of them, or are we giving them something?
I think in the 40s, the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, when many of my dad's and both my parents' siblings emigrated, we weren't giving them very much except a goodbye and a prayer and an injunction to send back money. Nowadays, I think most Irish people who emigrate do so with qualifications, with an education that's internationally recognised and with much better prospects. My two sons are at home at the moment, but I think it'd be no harm for them to go abroad. They have degrees. Why wouldn't they?
You remember during the gathering, there was some criticism at one stage that we were shaking down Irish Americans. There's no sense here that we go out And we send our president out to shake down people in England and in Britain of Irish extraction to come here as tourists or to bring their business here or any of that sort of thing.
No, I thought the gathering was misnamed. It should have been called the fleecing, right? But I, there's no sense in this that we're not particularly pushing for investment in Ireland. At least I hope the state isn't. This in a sense, is simply a dignified reciprocation of an extraordinarily important acknowledgement, if you like, by the United Kingdom. 3 years ago when Her Majesty came here. And as I say, she came, a woman in her 80s, against whom there were very real physical threats. These aren't just notional.
You greeted technical. Her in Trinity, didn't you?
Well, I shook hands with her and couldn't think of anything to say. And she clearly had a sense of humour. Her husband was amazing. He demanded responses from everybody to whatever he said, and he listened to your responses. He was very impressive, and he was then 89 or 90. Mm. So an extraordinary couple. But they took, in a sense, a physical risk, which many people wouldn't do. You know, there's still overhangs in Anglo-Irish relations and in, you know, the issues of political violence, and not only political violence arising from republicanism, but there's the situation in Northern Ireland is still very unsettled as regards loyalism. There's all sorts of issues out there, and it's important that the two states and that the two governments are as close as possible on all sorts of levels. But the other point is, we all have neighbours, and the key thing with neighbours is to get on with them. But you're going to have differences with them. It would be absurd to think that all remaining differences, or all historic differences even, can be removed at the stroke of a pen or at the shake of a hand, or, you know, through the president's undoubted eloquence in whatever speeches he makes.
Mm. This decision, you talk about North-South relations, the decision by Martin McGuinness to attend the state banquet at Windsor Castle tomorrow night. He didn't attend. Sinn Féin wasn't represented at Dublin Castle back in 2011. Many saw that as a mistake. He will be there tomorrow night. Is that another step along the road?
Well, I think it's several things. You could really read as the Deputy First Minister in Northern Ireland, Martin McGuinness in some ways represents not simply his own side of the argument, but he has broader responsibilities. And to some extent, I think you can represent his attending the function in Windsor in that connection. It also, I think, probably makes for good electoral politics. Mm-hmm. I think it looks as though Sinn Féin probably suffered a little bit in terms of public perception by staying away from Dublin Castle. Now, obviously, they were looking to the Northern Ireland roots, I would have thought, in that decision. But I think, you know, time has passed and there has been a gradual maturation, and not to be cynical, but I think it's perfectly proper for a senior figure in a political party to think long and hard before accepting such an invitation. And I think it's a good thing that he's done so. Mm.
Michael D. Higgins said yesterday that he hoped visits between the two heads of state would become frequent and regular. Is that necessarily a good thing? Is it desirable?
I think it would be disastrous. If you know, there's only so much pomp and ceremony you can have, right? It's one thing, in a sense, to call in for tea or to go fishing or whatever together, but it would be quite another for all this kind of palaver. You can only do this every so often. When I was young, I remember, for example, the King of the Belgians, I think King Baudouin, coming here on a state visit. And then there was only one television channel and it seemed like really big news. Nowadays, even I think the President Higgins in Britain, I'm sure most of my British friends probably won't even be aware of it. Mm. So we shouldn't push it too far and say, oh, we should do this every few years. State visits, it doesn't mean heads of state shouldn't meet every so often. But in both cases, the heads of state, in a sense, are largely symbolic. They don't have practical political power. It's very important that the heads of government meet on matters of mutual concern, not only bilateral matters, but matters, for example, to the European Union, which is, you know, at the core of Irish worries about Britain now. It's not to do with Northern Ireland. It's to do with what will happen if Britain continues to try to push away from full participation in the EU, because that for Ireland would have enormous, for this state will have enormous consequences.
And in another interview ahead of this visit, the Taoiseach raised the prospect of a royal visit here to mark the centenary of the Easter Rising. What do you think?
Well, we Patrick Pearce had some attachment to what he called gallant allies in Europe. Maybe we could get a Prussian royal or something to come along. I'm not sure that it would be particularly appropriate. I'm not for it or against it, but it might be a little curious.
Mm. I mean, once you've done it, once the Queen made that visit in 2011, you can probably never repeat the shiver up the spine as she nodded in the Garden of Remembrance, those particular moments.
That was astonishing. Two of my great uncles were killed in the War of Independence. It's just unbelievable. in some sense, the British monarch would not only come to Ireland, that's fine, but actually to sort of nod to the deaths of people who had fought against Britain is an astonishing gesture, and it's trying to put the past behind us, which is where the past belongs.
Professor Eunan O'Halpin of Trinity College, thank you very much for coming in to us. We will have full coverage of Michael D. Higgins' state visit to the United States.